Hey, Audio Boo and Audio Mo. It's Marie, and it's the 8th of June already. Where's that come from? Let me just turn this TV down. I haven't even got it on for myself. It's on for the dogs. Believe it or not. Only because if there's no sound in the room, our door is really rubbish and they tend to bark as people walk past or car doors close. And nobody wants to hear barky dogs this time of day. Anyway, I've come to talk to you about technology. And kind of like a reflection on where technology has come from in the past 5 years. I'm going to say 5 years because it's almost 5 years to the day. On June 19th, 19th of June, it will be 5 years to the day since I got my first accessible iPhone. That's actually outstanding that to think 5 years before that, I didn't believe I would be able to use a pure touchscreen device. And now 5 years hence, I am using a touchscreen on a daily basis. Two touchscreens, three actually. so I'm going to do a bit of a reflection because I'm going to give a bit of my technology experience over the years. So when I was a little girl and way back in the day, and I could see I used pen and a paper, pencil and paper, to learn to write, and obviously read print books. Once I lost my sight, I then went to the Brailler, Perkins Brailler, and learned to do Braille. When I was in high school, they got me a Eureka Braille computer. If anyone remembers those, they were fantastic. I loved my Eureka. And I used that pretty much all the way through school. Oh, before that, the Braille. I had a Braille print, so it was a Brailler that sat on top of a device that basically transcribed the Braille into print, and then it printed it all out. So I had that during junior school, so year 3, 4, 5, and 6. I don't think I had it in year 3 actually, I think it was 4, and maybe 5 and 6 I had that. So I had the Eureka, and I went to sixth form college. And I remember seeing my first kind of screen reader on a computer at a technology conference or something. And they showed me, it must have been JAWS actually. I was like, oh, wow, that's so cool. Like, you can use a computer. And obviously the talk of the internet was everywhere at that point. This was in 1999. So that year I got my first computer, but I had Supernova put on it because the college had a few of the students who had low vision needs and decided that the Supernova, it was basic enough for me to use it. It actually was horrific, to be honest, as a screen reader back in 99, for a totally blind user anyway. It struggled with most things you put in front of it, even Microsoft Office. So I used that for 2 years, went to college. They also told me I had to use Supernova. Went to university. They also told me I had to use Supernova, which I hated. But when I went to the US for my exchange program, the lab computers that we had JAWS on them and worked fantastically. And that was my first experience of using JAWS and my first experience of using a Braille display as well, which was pretty epic. So then I kind of came home and used Windows with a variety of different things, and you know, survived it pretty well. And then in 2008, the iPod Nanos had come out that had the speech on them, the fourth generation, I believe it was. I was like, oh, I really want an iPod Nano. So I went on the internet and was like searching everywhere, you know, for guides and stuff, how best to use it with Windows. And it seemed that actually it would work better with the Mac. And I was kind of in, I was in the middle of deciding whether I was going to buy WindowEyes, actually, a WindowEyes license, and buy a new computer, because the computer I had was really old. And I stumbled across this website and found this demo of the Nano being set up with a Mac. And I was like, oh, wow, this guy can do it. You know, never thought about a Mac before. I trialled a Mac, actually, for our VI service probably about 2 years previous to this, when Tiger came out, and I absolutely hated it. But it was probably because I wasn't very open-minded to it, and also the people that were instructing didn't have a clue what they were doing with the Mac either, so it was quite a frustrating process. So we ended up going into Apple Store. I was like, well, I did a bit of research and played around with a Mac computer, and I went to the Apple Store and was like, can I have a look at your one of your machines? And they were like, absolutely, no problem. Turn VoiceOver on for me. And just left me to play with a MacBook for a while, which I was absolutely enthralled by. And Leopard had come out that August, I believe. This was the October. So it was a brand new operating system. And I was like, do you know what? I think I'm going to buy this. And came home and actually spoke to my parents about it, because it was quite a big decision. This was an expensive piece of kit. And both my parents were like, it's your money, do what you want. As they usually are with most things. So the week later, I went and bought my first MacBook, and the guy I was with at the time bought me my first Nano. And so I came home with my new possessions, quite happy and excited and just really buzzing. Now I've got these really cool things. And had gone through quite a few user guides and things, well, documentation on the internet about it and stuff, and just the kind of the whole new experience of turning on a computer and being able to set up from the start by myself was really, really awesome. Got it all set up and started using it, and pretty much haven't looked back since. That was back in 2008. So I was using my Mac and my iPod quite happily. And I'm going to pause with my computer story right there, because that's, like I said, I basically have been on a Mac since I got the MacBook white. It was one of the last white models, the carbon models, in 2008. And then I got my MacBook Pro in 2011, which has now got, it's now running Mavericks on it now, is doing pretty okay. I'm trying to think, actually. Yeah, it was 2011. I was like thinking I'd had my Mac longer than I had, but I hadn't. I got it in 2008. And I thought I'd had it for 4 years, but I didn't. I only had it for 2.5. It's actually the MacBook I've got now, I've had the longest. Anyway, so I'm going to step back a little bit, because, you know, our computers are important to us, but our mobile devices are so much more important nowadays than they ever were. Now, my first mobile phone I got in 1999. For the simple reason, I was going to do a revision workshop at Worcester, New College Worcester, which is one of the blind colleges, or high schools really, here in the UK, and doing a revision week. That's my dog snoring, everyone. One of them anyway. And my parents wanted me to have a mobile phone, so they bought me this mobile phone on the proviso that I topped it up and I, you know, ran it and everything. So I took it away with me, and it was I can't really, it was just like, I think the model number was like an MN1. It was just some kind of non-standard phone. I learnt to text on it and I learnt to memorise all the menus and things. A lot of cancelling went on during that time. But it worked. And obviously there was nothing else around that was accessible in 1999. I think like the year after, I went through a few different phones. But when the Nokia 5110 or whatever it was that came out, the phone that you could change the covers for came out, and everybody and their mother wanted one of these phones. I got one of those as well and loved my Nokia and stayed with Nokia for a long time actually. In fact, I'm betting it was 2000. I got that, the 5110. Because when I went on contract when I was 18, and that was an 8210, which was a dead small one. So yeah, I've gone through a fair few different Nokias over the years. But that was on prepay as well. So I had all the pretty phones that you could switch covers for and this, that and the other. And then obviously I didn't have speech on any until 2008. I know everybody else had it way before then, but I didn't know much about it, and I wasn't really friends with a lot of other VI people at the time, that they could say, oh, have you not tried this phone or whatever with speech. So I got, it was when Vodafone was offering the talks for their blind customers they installed it on your phone and et cetera, et cetera. So I got that all sorted when I was down at Hereford College in 2008. And was quite happy with my phone, and it talked, and that was kind of new and exciting. And then in the following June, 19th of June, after WWDC announced that the 3DS was going to be accessible to the blind with VoiceOver, I dragged my ex-partner, who was still my partner at the time, to the Apple Store, and I was going, you know what, this is so cool, this is so awesome, and I'm, you know, and he was like, but I want to see one first before I buy it. Anyway, I didn't end up seeing one before I bought it, because I just went ahead and bought it. I don't know what kind of made me do it, but I did, and got it home, was like, oh my god, I have no idea what I'm doing with this phone, and basically within, you know, a couple of days I was up and running, and it was an exciting time because I saw the, you know, I've seen from the start how application apps and stuff have progressed and how much more accessible things we've got on there, and yeah, sure, it's not everything, but more and more we're seeing more and more apps that are accessible. So it's quite exciting this year. I've had the 3GS, which was my first phone, and I got that on pay-as-you-go, because I don't know why I got it on pay-as-you-go. I think I was still contracted on my other phone, and I'm pretty sure I don't know. I must have had two phones for a while. Don't ask. I think I was contracted to like the September or something. No, I couldn't have been. Anyway, the following year, when the 4 came out, I upgraded to the 4. So that was 2010. And then 2012 was when I got the 5. And so I'm due an upgrade this year. And it's quite exciting because if anyone watched WWDC, last Monday, there was a lot of talk of you know, different things, and there was quite a few slides that hinted about other accessibility improvements, i.e. a Braille keyboard, also third-party keyboard apps, which we've all been kind of dying for a long time. So I do think there is a huge improvement to technology, and we have seen probably one of the biggest accessibility improvements over the last, oh god knows, so many years, very quickly in the last 10 years with Apple specifically, but with Apple doing the precedent of this, they've opened up the door to other companies, such as Google with their Android device, and they have TalkBack, which is, it's good, it works. It's not as comprehensive as VoiceOver is at this point, but that's not to say it won't be. And obviously with that, you know, Android's put on a lot of devices, a lot of other devices that are more affordable to people. The iPhone and the Apple products are expensive. They are built to last though as well, which I think is something that we sometimes overlook. But I, you know, I'm sitting here using an iPad to record this, an iPad mini. I've had the first generation iPad, and then I got the iPad mini nearly 2 years ago now. And just recently, in January, I got a Kindle Fire HDX because I like technology and I wanted a reading device, like a specific reading device. So, and again, that's all screen reader friendly and works with TalkBack installed on that device. It's very much more cumbersome than the iPhone and iPad, but it works. And I think more and more now we're getting technology that's working more for us on a personal basis. But then you see, you know, touchscreens are being used more and more in household devices. And I think if those kind of things are open to integration with a software device like an iPhone, it won't make so much of a difference, because you're seeing now things like central heating can be controlled through an app on the iPhone. You know, if you could program a washing machine with an app, it wouldn't matter so much if it was, you know, it was all touchscreen with the programs and things, because you could select those programs as long as the app was accessible on your device or whatever. I think we're moving forward in a very exciting age of technology, and I think the fact that people are being more and more aware, made aware of people's needs for varying disabilities, so motoring skills or visual impairment or hearing loss, I think that's becoming much more integrated into the mainstream, which is absolutely fantastic. You know, I was saying this before, there were a lot of slides at WWDC that had a lot of the accessibility stuff wasn't mentioned in the keynote. You know, they didn't pull attention to it, but it was there. It was in black and white for everyone to see. I think technology is exciting, and it's an exciting thing to see. I'm excited, and I'm very much looking forward to getting the new software update when it comes out in probably September, October time, and a new phone, hopefully, if I like it. If I don't, I think I might cry. But this was my technology journey for AudioMo today. Hope everyone's having a great Sunday. Speak to you soon.